Welcome everybody to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host Clint Locklear, and we're going to talk a little bit about something today that I have a feeling some people, probably not a whole lot in this audience, but I want to put this in a perspective of being an honest, mature male and being a dishonest, immature male. When you're looking at the male species, when you're looking at what men's jobs are, when you're looking at how men are wired, socialism does not fit a real man. I have a hypothesis. Real men cannot be for socialists. Before we get into tonight's show, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. If you're into trapping, he's got everything you want. If you need some copper trap tags or any other tags, I use them on trout lines. I use them on noodles when I go out catfishing. I use them on fish traps, actually, to catch bait. I use the trap tags for everything because they last forever and you can reuse them. And he's got great prices, fast service, and all that. If you're in a predator calling, Funky Trap Tags and Supplies can definitely get you what you want. He's got great deals on amazing calls, and I've watched how people are so loyal to what he does there with his predator calling at some deer shows that it's quite amazing. So if you're looking for that or into wanting deer scents and hog scents and fishing supplies, he's now getting into that a little bit. Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. You will not be sorry. Like I said, real men cannot be for socialists. Or socialism, or communism, for that matter. See, this is one of the reasons that all societies that turn to socialism and communism end up with destroyed families, with destroyed men, with destroyed the feeling of I can go out and conquer something, the feeling that I need to experiment and innovate, all the stuff that we in America take for granted today goes away with socialism or communism for that matter. And the reason I'm bringing this up, I listen to, and I'm hoping to get a video up on Trapping Radio probably tomorrow, of two guys that are actually bodybuilders that are talking to Joe Rogan about his idea to vote for Bernie. It is hilarious. Now, this is a free country. And I will not have people, I can tell you right now, that I will not have people tell me that I shouldn't put that up because of the language. So I'm telling you ahead of time that there is some harsh language inside of this video. And if you don't enjoy that type of language, you have the freedom not to watch it. But I still have the freedom to put it up because it's funny. And, you know, Joe Rogan, it was a big deal. You know, he's probably got the biggest podcast in the world. When he does a podcast, he has more listeners than all the news channels, including Fox, combined on a daily basis. It is astronomical, the reach that he has. I listen to him all the time. I like his openness, except he is a Californian. And even though he doesn't see it himself, he still has a lot of the California influences when it comes to politics. Now, I'm going to be the last person to ever say Joe Rogan is not a man, because he definitely is. He's just influenced by the place that he's at. And he likes Bernie Sanders. And the reason he likes Bernie Sanders is because Bernie Sanders is actually being honest. And I will give that to Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is honest. He's a socialist. He wants to take your stuff. He wants to build a socialist country. And eventually, when you look at all of his past stuff, he is a big lover of all things communism. Sorry about that. My wife has got one of these little robots that vacuum, and apparently it tried to eat a bottle cap. So that's what that racket was, and it could eat it. So that's what that racket was. But everybody that seems to want to go for Bernie Sanders, I think there's some authenticity to Bernie Sanders because he's actually telling you who he is, which is unusual. Trump pretty much told you who he was, which was very unusual. But when you look at this from a point of view of the reality of the world that we live in, real men cannot support socialism. Now, beta boys can support socialism. Soy boys can be all over it. You know, the fake male feminists that are just trying to get laid from feminists, they can be all for it. You have a lot of confused young people today that has been lied about the history of America. They can be for it. You got a lot of people with college debt that realize they got a big debt for nothing pretty much because society told them they needed a college degree. They're pretty much all for it. But I tell you who cannot be for it is men. Men cannot be for it. Women logically cannot be for it because it doesn't make any sense. But just the makeup of men makes it impossible. If you've never really broken down socialism versus capitalism, there's two words that are in both of kind of a quasi-definition, and that's equal. The biggest difference, though, is how that equality happens to people. If socialism is trying to get the equal outcomes of everybody. Equal outcomes. So if you work hard, you should make as much money as a CEO. If you work 40 hours a week, you should make as much as a doctor that makes 40 hours a week. It's like a time capsule in the moment that people want to have. See, someone that works a job at a quick shop for 40 hours a week should not make the same money as someone that's a doctor. Because you didn't have 12 years of school and 4 years of residency and probably $1 million of debt to get that. You just put an application and they started paying you a wage. So you can't have equal outcomes because it doesn't make any sense. Because nobody would be a doctor if everybody made the same amount of money. Now, the difference of capitalism is equal opportunity. Now, I know there's a lot of liberals that say there is not true equal opportunity because of slavery that happened centuries ago or because someone is born in a certain place. But, I mean, how much better equal opportunity can you have with Barack Obama to become president, Oprah Winfrey to be the most richest woman in the world, probably? Look at our, the guy that's over all the medical, Ben. You know, he's a surgeon, grew up with a mom that couldn't read, that made them read and made them study. They didn't have equal opportunity as a white, rich, preppy kid growing up somewhere where money was not a problem. But look how it turned out. See, the opportunity is what makes capitalism different than socialism, because equal outcomes doesn't play in the term of opportunity. And it's really something that men need to understand because, you know, part of a man's job is he protects his family. He supplies the resources for that family. Even if his wife is working, he still needs to, you know, supply those resources. A man is wired to want to become better at certain things. So, you know, like if it's woodworking or business or art or whatever it is, it's just inherent in a man to want to be above mediocre when it comes to any pursuit that they take that means anything to them. I'm not talking about if you have a job you don't like. I'm talking about something that you do. The idea that you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps, that you can go out and conquer something, you can kill it and bring it back home and everybody feast on it in the cave. That's kind of what men are drawn to. Because that's the way we're wired. Even though we live in more of a, quote, civilized, which I think is actually more uncivilized world today, men still want to go out and do things. They want to be the best hunter, the best fisher, the best trapper. They want to, you know, if they're into sports or into weightlifting or whatever it is, that, you know, when you have technical hobbies like woodworking and metalworking and different things like that, they want to be able to go out, prove themselves to their family and their mate that they're actually important, and they get things done. Well, see, that comes from equal opportunity. Equal outcomes is where every kid gets a trophy, where if somebody didn't go to medical school, but they want the pay of a doctor because somebody else has it and they think that somehow that they're getting screwed because they don't make as much as a doctor or a business owner when they didn't have any risk and they didn't spend all the years of sucking life like most small businesses start. They just want it because they want it. So basically, when you boil it down, socialism is it's greed. They want what someone else has. And they want someone else, i.e. government, to force that down everybody in society to give away what they've earned to something else. See, the interesting thing about socialism is it's an impossible theory and form of government to start unless you have capitalism of equal opportunity to feast on for several years. Socialism cannot start without capitalism. It's impossible, because if you try to start socialism without capitalism's resources, there's nothing to give away to the masses. But let's look at this in a way, in some practical applications. A socialist would look at the NBA and go that a 4'9" Asian that's never played basketball should be able to go out on the court and get a contract at the same amount of money as LeBron James. Both have the opportunity from a kid to pursue their love of basketball and take it as far as it can take them. That's opportunity. Equal outcome means someone in a bureaucracy somewhere just basically says that you have to hire them even though they cannot do the job. Now, who would watch NBA if it was a bunch of people that really couldn't play basketball? Nobody. The business wouldn't be there. The income wouldn't be there. So there wouldn't be any salaries there because no one would watch it because socialism doesn't work. Same thing about music. I like music. To me, the best concert and the best vocalist entertainer I've ever been to in my life is Jamie Johnson. He sings an old school type of country. There's no glitz, there's no glamour, there's no explosions, there's no big lights, there's no build up to the concert. He shows up in his flannel shirt, sings his ass off. Everybody's blown away and he walks off stage. There's not even any of that coming back to sing the last song. It's just music. And he makes a living because he actually sounds better in concert than he does on records. Me, on the other hand, cannot sing. I've tried. You know, it's you know, everybody when you're growing up, especially in the 80s, you wanted to be in a rock band. I'm not musically inclined. I tried learning guitar. It sucked. I tried learning bass. I sucked. I tried singing. I really sucked. What would happen with equal outcomes if the concerts were all of Clint that sucks musically? Would you go paid to go to the concert? No. Now see, capitalism does something that drives certain uneducated or ununderstanding ignorant people nuts. Capitalism builds inequality into society. It's not a bad thing, but just the idea of that drives certain people crazy because they want equal outcomes. LeBron James makes the money he makes because he can play basketball. People want to come to the stands. They want to wear his jersey. They want to wear whatever tennis shoes he's wearing. They want to buy his posters. He makes a lot of money because he's good. Jamie Johnson makes a living from music because he's good. And both of those have way more money than I do. Because their talents, their work ethic, and their ability to produce creates an inequality of income that no man should be sad about. See, if we actually lived in a manly society today, there's no doubt in my mind we would praise people that produce, but we don't, because the feminine has taken over our culture where they want equal outcomes. If everything was equal outcomes, see, what a lot of you younger guys don't remember, excuse me, when I was young, you had AT&T. That was it. That was the phone service. So for me to call somebody 10 miles away, it was $2.50 a minute, because that was considered, quote, long distance. There was no competition. You were using very antique style phones because there was no reason to spend any money on a new phone, because everybody had to buy your phone anyway, which is what socialism is. It had a lock on everything. And then lo and behold, when the regulations got dropped, it took all the protections away from AT&T. Cell phones popped up, other servers popped up. Long distance call, now for a young person, they probably don't even understand what that means, went away, because you had to compete in a capitalistic society. AT&T for a long time struggled because they were still in the dinosaur age of where they owned everything, where it was more like a socialist type government driven business. And then capitalism came up and the world got better for the customers. They got cheaper, you got better phones, now you got smartphones, you got Apple, you got Droid phones, you got all this going on. Both had the same opportunity, but Verizon's now kicking their ass because they've used that opportunity to be better than what AT&T was. Businesses pretty much all are unequal. You have owners, you have business plans, you have products, you have markets, you have markups, you have wholesales, you have the whims of the customer. All of this stuff means that businesses do not have equal outcomes. Most businesses fail. Most business owners should not go into business because they don't understand business, and they think that they do and they don't. They don't understand all the aspects of business, and they think that they're all of a sudden have an idea that everybody's going to want. Most of the time they won't. They don't. And everything falls apart and they go out of business, and it seems unfair because you have other businesses that are thriving. It creates an inequality in businesses. Apple makes way more money than I do. They give more to customers than I physically can or am willing to do, so they make more money than I do. I'm fine with that. A real man should not be upset by that. In my industry, there's guys that don't make near the money that I do. They shouldn't be jealous of that. They should strive to meet whatever opportunity that they have to reach the goals that they want to reach, instead of being jealous and greedy of another company. So there's inequality in capitalism because people that work harder, are smarter, are faster, are more nimble and more creative, bring stuff to the market that people want more than other things. So that money flows towards them. So it creates an inequality of a business that's not matching that model that the successful business is making. That's what all men should want to live in society. We have the opportunity to make as much money as you want by how much work and creativity you're willing to put into it. Real men should not fear that. But the equal outcomes is a feminine society that does not work. It has never worked, and I doubt it ever will work. The first form of government in the United States was socialist. And then all of a sudden, one morning, like Bob's looking up at his wife, realizing that he's eating the leg of Bill, his next door neighbor, and he goes, maybe this socialist thing ain't working. Because they were starving to death. Because what the socialists never want to talk about is human nature. You have people that want to work harder than others. But in a socialist society, a feminist society, an equal society, why would someone work harder if they don't get rewarded for it? They don't. They never will. That's the reason Russia fell apart. That's the reason Venezuela fell apart. That's the reason Cuba is the way that it is. These countries cannot function within a socialistic parameter. Now, Bernie Sanders is going around talking about Sweden. Sweden is not a socialist country. But apparently, all the nincompoops that are on the news media do not understand that. Sweden has the wealth that it has because it did not get into World War I or World War II. It was the only country standing in Europe that wasn't destroyed. Most of the wealth from Sweden came because they were the only country that could produce anything when everybody else was trying to still figure out how to eat and get their house put back together. That wealth accumulated in the country that wasn't blown up. Businesses flourished because any money out there was going to Sweden. Now, Sweden does have a lot of very big social programs that they're looking at now because they realized it's not working. Because they brought in all of the immigrants that are pretty much non-producers, which their society does not produce as a norm, and it's sucking the money out of the government. Because that's what happens in socialism. Now, I want to give an example of why a man, a real man, should be grateful to live in a capitalistic society instead of a socialist society. Now, see, me and my wife moved to the river back in November, I think. I think it was November. It could have been October. And the first day we got here and we weren't moving stuff in, it was a beautiful fall day. I went and scrounged through all the stuff that we brought over from the house, and I found some fishing poles. I didn't have time to put out my fish traps that I get from a friend of mine in Memphis. So I had to go to Walmart and get some groceries. So I picked up every single catfish bait that they had at Walmart. Because I'm now on the river. It's a beautiful day. The water was like glass. The water was still warm. Watts Bar Lake, where I live, is known for having a good amount of catfish. So I used all these different type baits, put them on my hooks, drug a chair down to the lake, and just relaxed and threw out the prepared bait that I got. You know what? I didn't catch a single fish for 4 hours. I used 5 different types of baits. I didn't catch a fish. I paid money for something that obviously wasn't very functional. Now, as a customer, that did not make me happy. As a man that understands capitalism, it made me very happy. Because since that time, I've pulled those baits out and I've hooked them up and I've thrown them in the same spots that I'm throwing some other stuff in, and it's not catching. And I went to work, actually, not just because of this, but about 3 years ago, playing around with different concepts for catfish bait, because I'm a meat eater. I need lots of protein, and I'd rather catch it than buy it. But this lit a fire under my butt, because if there's four catfish baits on the shelf at Walmart, and you can't catch anything on it, that means that there's still people so desperate trying to find a commercial catfish bait that actually catch a catfish that it holds enough value to Walmart to still keep the shelf space open, even though I'm pretty sure most people have the same results that I did. So as a man, and as an entrepreneur, and as in someone that understands capitalism, I saw a problem. I needed a bait that would actually catch the fish. That was first and foremost. So I started playing around. Since I'm a lure maker by trade, where I do coyote and bobcat lures and all type of fur animals and deer and hog and bear and all that, I went about that the same way that I did any other thing that I've done in my lure business. You test it to death. And I know that catfish are more active and feed more when the water is warm. So I was using this winter as a testing ground to find a bait that would not only catch fish, but the other ones that I bought at the store did not want to stay on the hook. They were sloppy to use. You had to buy some of them. You had to buy these little pieces of tubes that you dunk it down in there and it gets washed out really quick. So it's not very functional. And I wanted something that would hide the shank of the hook and be able to use circle hooks on. So always got the best catch on the catfish. I didn't want to be using treble. So they hook themselves always through the corner of the mouth. So that was my criteria that I set off after I saw the problem as an entrepreneur, as a man, and as a capitalist. So I have mixed up countless concoctions. Some have not worked, some have worked okay. And I've got one that is slamming catfish, even with the water as cold as it is, with it fluctuating water levels because of all the flooding and dropping of the lake right now. Cloudy, sunny, daytime, nighttime. It doesn't make any difference. I'm catching catfish. I've eaten my body weight in catfish. So what does that mean to me? Well, that means I have a good product that I'll be coming out with. I've never really done anything inside of the fishing industry, which is a massive industry. I don't know what the scale of that really means, because I've never done anything like that. I know I've got a good product, because like today, it's in the low 30s, and I'll probably drag in another 6 or 8 catfish in the 30-degree mark, testing this bait again and again and again. So I've got this catfish bait that easily goes on the hook. It's not messy to use. It stays on the hook. The fish like it, and it hides the shank. So I've met this criteria. Now, if somebody wants to compete with me with my product and they come out with another type lure that may not catch as well, is not easy to use, does not hide the shank, does not stay on the hook, and the fish really don't care that much about it, it's going to create an inequality in our incomes. Because customers that want to go catch catfish, and most people that buy prepared bait, are guys with children, or they got a few hours off in the afternoon and they just want to go out and get some fresh air. That's kind of who I think the customers are for this type of market. And there are millions of them. If a small percentage through YouTube and my website and other stores start carrying it, and say I start selling to 1% of the guys that do this, we're going to be really busy in my business making catfish bait. And because we're making a lot and selling a lot, that means we're going to make some money. To someone else that has an inferior product, they're not going to have the same amount of income as someone with a superior product that people find out about and want to use. It is an inequality of income at that point. That is, if I do everything else that I need to do in my business. That is how capitalism works. See, before, Walmart valued this other stuff on the shelf enough to, because you got to sell thousands of dollars of that a month for it to even stay on the shelf. The customer's buying a product that's having the same results as me. Now they can buy a product where they can actually go out and easily catch catfish. So the customer's going to be more happy, which is very different from the world of AT&T before the deregulation. Because that's all there is right now, is the inefficient catfish bait. All there was at that time was an inefficient phone service. It was very expensive. So without socialism, and because of a chance to get a reward of having inequality of income, the customer now is going to be happier than they were with what's on the market today. So the catfish bait gets better. Now, see, the way a man looks at this and looks at not afraid of competition is someone listening to this show can go, I can build a better catfish bait than Clint. And you get to work. And you build a better catfish bait than me. Lo and behold, the customers find out that yours is better. Now you have an inequality of income. But the customer is the happiest. And I go, oh, hell no. I'm going to keep working and I'm going to build an even better catfish bait that's better than yours, that's better than mine, so it's going to be the best. And I come out with an even better one. Now the customer's found out about it and I get an inequality of income. We have the same opportunity. But the way socialists would have it is there's already catfish bait in the store. It didn't really cost any amount of money because it's pretty much just flour and blood. It's in a little plastic bag. So that's good enough. So under the socialist idea, your catfish bait's always going to suck. Unless you're going to go catch your own fish, do cut-up bait or live bait or whatever you're going to do. But commercially, it's going to suck. And it's never going to unsuck because there's no reason in a socialistic society for someone like me to decide to come up with a better catfish bait. Now, catfish bait's not going to save the world. But for someone who just wants to go get catfish, it's pretty important at the time. That's a real world story of how capitalism and men conquer. That's how they bring resources home. That's how they make sure their wife feels secure. A real man loves capitalism. A soy boy always wants socialism. Little beta males that are afraid of competition, they're scared of capitalism. Because you got to kill it and bring it home, or you don't get to bring anything home. Now, before anybody thinks, well, yeah, but, you know, you've got money to do that and somebody in the hood doesn't have anything to do that. No, that's not true. I probably have got a whopping realistic $300 in testing all of this stuff. Now, I have spent 20 years of my life learning about essential oils and extracts and plant extracts and amino acids, perfume making. I have spent that time doing that, but see, that's my education. That's real education, not going to school. So did I have more opportunity maybe to come up with a better catfish bait quicker? Probably. But even somebody with very little money in the hood, if they wanted to come up with a catfish bait to get out of the hood, they could beat me if they tried hard enough and tried enough different stuff and learned everything that I've learned and then learned more. Because you can learn anything with a Kindle and YouTube. You can take Harvard classes for nothing. You can go to MIT online and learn from all of the PhDs. So the only real excuse is if somebody willing to put the work in to beat me at my catfish bait. Because see, I can tell you as a man that is very competitive, that loves competition, that understands that when you come out with something, it usually lights a fire in somebody else and they're going to try to come out after you. I'm already working on the next better, best catfish bait. Real men love capitalism. Beta boys are always afraid of it and they love socialism. So if you find yourself being drawn in to the socialist, you need to have a heart-to-heart, because if you're listening to this show, you probably want to be a better man. And there's no way a man can go along with socialism, because the government replaces you. That's what a lot of men don't understand with socialism. The government replaces you. And they're going to do a crappier job than you do. And as a man of the household, you don't want a crappier job for your family. You want a better job done for your family. So when you're hearing all this stuff about Trump versus Sanders, and you're hearing how great socialism is, and you're hearing how bad capitalism is, think about your smartphone. That would never happen under socialism. Think about the new vets that are coming out of Bowling Green, Kentucky, that are basically supercars for $70,000, mid-engine, close to 500 horsepower, mid-engine Lamborghinis for $70,000. That would never happen under socialism. Go look at the cars of the socialist and communist blocs. You wouldn't want one. All the nice hunting gear and ranger boats, all the cool new guns and the new types of ammo, none of that happens under socialism. And more importantly than all of that, there's not going to be any medical betterment under socialism, because it takes the private sector to do that. So your health care is going to get worse, your toys are going to get worse, your income is going to get worse, your taxes are going to get higher. Your family is going to suffer, because all families under socialistic government suffer. There's no way a man can go for that. So just keep this in mind. Let this bounce around in the back of your skull. Real men love capitalism. Fake men love socialism.